Blog Talk Radio.
September 13th, you know what day this is. I got my partner JW on the air with me. JW, if you're a sports fan, it's a special day today. It's the Well, I guess Thursday was the opening day of football, but this is the real opening day of football. This is the opening day of for the rest of the teams. Everybody played today. So what we're going to do, we're going to talk some football. We're going to get some predictions. I got Jake W., like I said, he's going to be on the air with me. And I'm also going to have my man, Brother Man Ike. He's going to be on the air with me as well. Get some predictions from him. Get some sports talk with him as well. Maybe just a little bit of them Mets and Yankees a little bit. Not too much. Cause it's a football day. It's Sunday, September 13th. If you're listening to the Michael Bonner Show, hit us up. You want to sound off on your teams? Get some predictions? Shoot down another team. Let's talk about the Thursday game. The Pats and the Steelers. Let's talk about that a little bit. Anyway, hit us up. 619-924-9728. We're going to take a very quick break. We're going to load this thing up a little bit. And we're going to be right back at you guys. And we're going to talk some Pat Steelers. And I got a quick question for you. The Pats, are they cheaters? Or are they just hated champions? I want to know your thoughts about that. You're listening to the Michael Bonner Show. We'll be right back. Brother Man Ike with me. I got JW with me. I got the guys. We're going to talk a little bit of NFL. Brother Man, hey, get that frog out there, boys. Brother Man Ike, listen, you're oversleeping over there. What's going on, brother?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, man. Oh, man. We're here. Finally here.
You sound like you're having a rough morning, rough night, something. I hear chairs moving in the background. You got the hardwood floor thing going on. What's good?
Oh, wow. You hear that? Yeah, that's upstairs. But yeah, hey, it's Funday Sunday right now. Football Sunday.
Are you still feeling the effects from your couple bottles of 211 last night?
Oh man, I kicked that habit and I picked up something else.
Well, which habit is that? Share with us. Which habit is that?
Nah, because I went over to a sports bar, you know, just to check out the scene, see where I could probably be today, and you know, just checking out a couple spots, and yeah, I'm just trying to run it down to see, well, you know, where I may end up watching the games, because I don't want to stay home this weekend. I mean, well, this Sunday, I want to be out in the atmosphere and see the fans and get other reactions and things of that nature.
Well, you know, you got to find your local Buffalo Wild Wings, and usually you get all the games. Now I'm in the Midwest right now. I'm in Nebraska right now, in Omaha area. And it's a little spot that I go to. It's a little hole-in-the-wall bar. And coincidentally, it's called the Philly Sports Bar. And that was the reason why I went there. You know, it had Philadelphia in its name, but I moved here from Philadelphia. So I went there, and I'm telling you, it must not be maybe 10 people in there every time I go in there. It's always empty. Mm. So, and they have, like, every game, TV's all over. Interesting thing is, since it's a little hole-in-the-wall, little sports bar, it's not like the big fancy plasmas, brand-new TVs all over the place. It's plasmas, but it's a little older models. But it's such a relaxing atmosphere when you want to watch some football. You go in there, you have your table. You pretty much got five TVs to yourself, you know what I mean? So,
yeah, wow.
It's dark. You know, you get in there, you get your plate of hot wings, you get your pitcher of soda or beer, whatever you're drinking. And that's a little hideaway, getaway spot. Either you got to find yourself one of those, or you just got to get the a Buffalo Wild Wings, or you just got to get, if you're in the Philly area, I know you got Chickie and Pete's. You got a lot of different places that you can go to for some games. Pretty much any bar, sports bar, restaurant, Applebee's, Chili's, all of them are going to have the game. So all of them are going to be hot spots. Did you take a little bit of a look at any college games last night? Oh, yesterday?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I saw, I checked out the Rutgers and the Washington State game. That was a good game yesterday, man.
How did that go down?
Well, I mean, Rutgers, they battled back. And I mean, I never checked them out because I was all, I just put Rutgers on the back burner. But looking at that team yesterday, that's a good team they got together. But I think they need to, their quarterback needs to mature a little bit. It's his first year. I forget the kid's name, but he's a freshman, and he needs, you know, a little bit of tweaking, and I think they'll be okay. Rutgers, that is. They played Washington State. They lost. What was it? I think it was 34-37, something like that.
Yeah, I believe the score was something like
that. Actually, four.
Now, yeah. actually talked to a gentleman that you recommended me to yesterday, who does a sports blog, and he's does a sports podcast as well. Sorry to say, it was a crash and burn, and it didn't work. we're all different, you know. We all want to bring different things to different shows, and you know, like I try to tell people, when you come to the Michael Bonichio Sports Talk, when you come to What It Is, when you come to, you know, the different outlets that we present, we're not going to necessarily be homers. We're not going to necessarily be fans. We're going to be very objective. And what we specialize in is sports debate. We like the round table discussions. We were like this when we were talking politics. We were like this when we were talking music, entertainment. We're like this when we're talking sports, social issues, whatever the case may be. We love round table discussions. So you're going to have that type of debate. You have to be able to explain why you like certain teams, why you think the way that you think. We're all fans. It's all fun. It's all games. So just enjoy yourself when you come on. But the reason why I'm saying that, it didn't work out with the gentleman. So we're just going to keep moving on and keep building this machine the way we're building it. Just get the train going. We're going to build this thing brick by brick the way we've been doing it, custom built. And so far it's working out for us, you know, and we're just going to keep riding this ride the way we're the direction that it's going. With that said, I got the partner JW on with us as well. We got JW being very, very quiet. JW, what's going on this morning, brother? Early Sunday morning.
Early Sunday morning. What's going on, gentlemen? What's going on? It's a good football morning.
And it's exactly that. It's a good football morning. And you know, as cold as we are, you still get giddy. This first Sunday football, everyone's playing. Gonna be good.
Yes.
We're gonna jump right into this thing. When we talk,
let's go. Let's do it.
we spoke about the Pittsburgh Steelers in our last show. And the question was, what are they going to be remembered as, cheaters, or you going to remember them for cheating, or you going to remember them for the championships that they've won? Pretty much, I think that was a Brady topic. Now we're going to talk about the Steelers as a whole. We're getting more and more, let's say, complaints about the Steelers, more and more about the cheating. Is this going to be a situation now where we're going to look at every time the Steelers play a game, every time they take the football field, we're going to hear, oh, they're cheating, they're this, they're that. Are we just going to do that? Or is it just like a witch hunt for the Steelers now? What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, like, totally, to be totally honest with you, Mike, and we spoke on this yesterday behind the scenes. I mean, like, depending on what type of fan you are in looking at the game of football, you're looking at a situation where it's like, damn, these guys are playing books. You get feedback on the headset. I still go with a good quarterback, Tom Brady. But I don't know. The track record is just not looking that good. Like I told you yesterday, man, it's not looking too good.
Now, when you say, well, first, let me correct you. Not good quarterback, Tom Brady. Great quarterback, Tom Brady. Probably, maybe top three ever of all time. This is how I view Tom Brady. If you think he's different, if you think different about Tom Brady, let me know. Hit us up. If you think Tom Brady isn't one of the top three best quarterbacks ever, hit us up. As far as the New England Patriots and the cheating and the scandal and all of this, you know what they say, like, you're a coach. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. I refuse to believe that every coach and every team does not try little certain things that they do, cut corners, little shady type situations that they do. They've done it in basketball, you're doing it in baseball, and you know what? They do it in football. The problem is that the spotlight is shining so bright on the Patriots right now. They're like the poster boy for this. You're looking for it. Even when it's not there, you're trying to find something. JW, what do you think?
I think with the Patriots, it's always something. It's always something with them. And I don't want – and, I mean, I hate to – what you call it? Disregard Tom Brady's legacy and whatnot, or, you know, lessen it. But with them, it's just always something. And I do agree with you the fact that, yeah, the light to shine, like to shine brighter. I mean, I guess that's what happens when you're the – one of the marquee teams.
Now, do we devalue everything that the Patriots have done over the years, over the last 15 years maybe? Do we devalue that? Does that not matter? Do you view them as champions? Do you two guys view them as champions? Listeners, do you view the Patriots as the champions? Do we view them as that marquee franchise of modern day time, of our lifetime? If not, then who? They've done it all. They got, what, four championships? They have a damn good shot of getting a fifth. Tom Brady is that man. Patriots are that man. Bill Belichick, do you see him as a great coach? Or are you just going to view him as a cheater? How can you devalue what the Patriots have accomplished? Let me know.
Well, I'm looking at the Patriots as going back to the Super Bowl this year. That's my pick. To answer your question from last Saturday, I'm looking at them as going back. They are a good team. No matter how they get there, they're going to get there. That's my thoughts on that one right there.
Those are some choppy thoughts here, brother man. I ran around the circle, going around the street. Let me tell you something. The Pats, you can say what you want. The champions. We love, like I told you guys in the last show, we love to hate champions. We love it when you're the underdog. We love your extension. We love the root for you. We love the cheer you on. But then when you're on top of the mountain, we love to knock you off. For some reason, we can't really knock the Patriots, the Pats off. They're maybe one of the few teams that just been good for like the last 15, 16 years. You can't even remember when the Patriots weren't winning the AFC East anymore. This era of
the last time when Brady wasn't quarterback when he got injured, you know,
JW, I'm talking about for a consistent time. Like, you know, yeah, you come down, lose, and they still went to the playoff. You come down, lose a year, come back. But overall, they've been consistently good for like the last, over a decade now. This has been a really good franchise. Now, it helps when you got the combination of maybe the greatest coach and maybe the greatest quarterback. That combination, it helps. It makes everything a lot easier. But why do we hate them? Why do we hate champions in general? Brother Van Dyke, you're a coach, youth basketball. Why do we hate the team that's on top so much? Why can't we just enjoy and embrace what we're doing? Because you know what happens? 20 years from now, we all look back, and then we recognize the greatness. During the time where, you know, they're doing their reign, we overlook it. That chair, Brother Van Dyke, is killing me. During that time of that rain, we kind of take shots at him. We want to knock him off that mountain. But then we look back, and it's appreciated. We look back at Jordan, like you two, you're Knicks fans. You look back at Jordan. When Jordan was playing, you wanted to kill Michael Jordan. You hated him. Now you look back, you recognize the greatness. You can't even fathom putting another player in the same sentence as him. Are we going to have that same thought process when it comes to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick?
I think in the long run, now the whole Jordan thing, the whole Jordan era, I guess we're looking at a patch era in the NFL. That's a great team, but you've never heard of Jordan doing anything but just playing too much poker. You know what I'm saying? he did his things off the court. But Pat's doing things on the field.
I'm gonna stop you right there, Brother Marinike. Pretty much every other play was a travel with Jordan. Jordan traveled so much that he stopped. They just didn't call it. Everyone had their little quirks about them. Everyone had the little things that they've done about them. Am I wrong?
Well, then you had the Jordan rules. So that was what we were. Are we going to get the patch rules?
No, the point I'm trying to make. You can find me any champion, and I'll show you something where you can pick something apart. So if you're not a fan of a team, you're going to find something. Nobody's going to be perfect. Yeah. The Patriots, what they've done, I refuse to believe that every team doesn't try something like that or doesn't try their own little ways and this and that. The problem with the Patriots is that they managed to win some championships. So it shined that light on them a little bit brighter, and we went looking for things, and we found things. And I'm not going to deny it. Yes, the NFL covered up the old Spygate thing. You know, they covered it up. They didn't want it to be a black eye in the league. The Patriots was kind of like that poster boy for the league. Brady was like that poster boy for the league. And the ownership, the New England Patriots, their ownership has a very close relationship. Brother Van Dyke, that chair is killing us. They have a very close relationship with the NFL front office. So, you know, there were some cover-ups going on. But at the same time, is that enough to taint that whole Patriots era, that whole Patriots reign of being the best team in the NFL? Honestly, myself, I don't think so. I think we're going to worry about it now. We're going to talk about it now. A few years down the road, 10 years down the line after Bill Belichick and Tom Brady both retiring and gone and they're in the Hall of Fame. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think, don't get me wrong, there are going to be that contingent of fans is going to, you know, is going to be a little jealous of their success and are going to try to use that to you know, bring them down or, you know, to undermine them. But I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to be that successful. What I also want to bring to you guys' attention, did you guys see the game Thursday night?
Yeah, I saw it.
Now, I was a little bit disappointed, and for one reason, and one reason only. I just got finished watching a really exciting weekend of college football. Really up and down the field, some exciting games, and I thought that game was a little bit slow. It was good. It was good to watch football, but it did do something for me. It kind of made me realize a little bit the difference between the college game and the NFL game. I'm sorry, brothers, but the college game is just a little bit more exciting. What do you guys think? When you look at college football, NFL, the excitement level, which one gives you the more enjoyable game?
Honestly,
well, I mean, go ahead, G-Dub.
Hello?
W, we're here, brother.
Okay. I'm more into the NFL. I mean, that's all I can say. I've always been more rooted into the NFL and whatnot. I've been more excited to watch NFL football.
Do you give the college game a chance?
Honestly, yesterday I watched a couple of games. I watched the Michigan game, and I started watching the Notre Dame game. For me, it was good to watch football, but I was just way more excited for today.
Now, why is that? Now, the Rutgers game, exciting game, Brother Man, like you was telling us about it, exciting game, came out to the wire, Rutgers lost by 3. That was an exciting game. That was a fun game to watch. The Michigan State game, for those that watched it, it was a fun game to watch. You get a lot more of those games than you will in the NFL. In the NFL, a lot of times you got teams that are really good, you got teams that are really bad. College, you know, it's a mixed bag. You really never know what you're going to get from week to week. You know, a team could look like, you know, national championship team 1 week. They could look like bums the next week. I don't know. My personal opinion, I'm starting to really enjoy this college thing. You know, and I was never really a college fan. Never came up a college fan. Always a pro sports fan.
Yeah.
But maybe it's because I'm living in a college sport area. I'm not sure, but the college game is really becoming exciting to me. It's something that you guys should give some thought to and maybe, you know, watch a little bit more of these games, especially when we come to the basketball. College basketball is just, I'm sorry, it's just more exciting than the NBA. It's more passion, more effort. The atmosphere is more exciting. It's something that we should all give a little bit of thoughts to. Now, you know, since this is the – I wouldn't say the official opening day of the NFL. That was Thursday, but it's our official opening day for all the teams. You know, I got a couple of teams playing, a few teams playing Monday night, but for the most part, this is the official, unofficial, play on words, opening day of the NFL. We're gonna have to do some predictions in a little bit. We have to run down the predictions for this week. We got a couple of pick'ems that I want to know you guys' opinions on, and I want to know what type of records do you predict some of these teams to have. Listen to the Michael Bonner Show. Hit us up. Join us in this conversation. 619-942-9728. That's 619-942-9718. Also catch us on the mbnetwork.com. We should be, I like to say, streaming on there right now. I'm going to check it out in about a second, make sure everything is on the up and up with that. But we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. And we're back. Once again, you're listening to the Michael Bonner Show Sports Talk. Got Ike moving that chair again. Ike, brother, man, you have to have the most background noise ever in any co-host we've ever had on this show. You got a whole situation going on over there, brother. What is going on? Talk to us.
This is one of those weekends where I definitely, my nephews are here. The toddler, well, one is a toddler. The other one is just a kid, and he's just up there going crazy. And I thought I put him away, but I guess he didn't go ahead on.
You're gonna have to help. Let us help. Help us help you, brother man. Like, how can we be any assistant? We have to find you a nice little hideaway, a nice little getaway to go and get some nice and quiet and do your show and talk some sports. Now, I know you're probably gonna get very, very quiet when we talk to Knicks coming up in a few months, aren't you?
Well, we'll definitely see what happens with that. We're gonna definitely see what happens.
Which is gonna be interesting. I'm kind of looking forward to the NBA this year. I'm looking forward to some basketball talk. Unfortunately, I can't really get into talking about it right now because it seems so far away. It seemed like a lifetime between now and when the NBA season starts, even though it's only about a month and a half. Actual training camp and preseason basketball actually starts in, what, another 2-3 weeks maybe? Or 2 weeks? Training camp? Preseason games to start. But even with that said, it seems like such a long time from now. We got so much going on in the world of sports right now. You got this NFL, this is popping off. It's the opening weekend. You got college football, that's popping off. They're pretty much just wrapped up week two for that. And you got a lot of baseball pennant races going on right now. You got the Mets absolutely look like gangbusters right now. They're really doing their thing. I think they're up. Last time I checked, 7. It might be 8. I know they won last night, but they're either 7 or 8 games, you know, in the lead from Washington at clinching that division, that American League East. National League, excuse me. Then you got the Yankees, who are kind of falling back down to earth. They just got slaughtered yesterday, actually, in the doubleheader. They got beat both games. Toronto's pretty much going to wrap that up. Yankees are more looking for that wild card right now. It's more of a realistic chance that you're going to have the Yankees in that one game, wild card game, you know, one game to get in, winner-take-all type game, which is kind of dangerous because anything can happen in one game in baseball. We know that. So that's kind of the reality for the Yankees. But hopefully we'll have, you know, if you're in that New York area, you're going to have both teams in the playoffs this year. And you got a lot of good, solid, exciting teams out there, like the Dodgers. The Cubs are finally, in the game right now, in the conversation right now. You got the Cardinals who are just really running away with this thing. They're kind of like maybe the favorites. So it's going to be kind of exciting if you're baseball. So with all of that going on, it's kind of hard to really want to talk to NBA or really find myself able to talk to NBA. Some things going on. I know the Knicks signed a couple guys to fill out the roster. They signed 2-3 guys last week to fill their roster out, young guys, 1-year contracts. Yeah. Whether or not any of these guys make the team, I don't know. We'll get to the basketball talk. I know you guys are going to get you for that, and that's going to be exciting. And it's going to be exciting because, you know what? I do think the Knicks are going to be a lot more exciting than they were in recent years, but I just don't think they're going to put it up in that win column. You know, I don't think it's going to contribute to a lot of wins. That's some more feedback. I'm going to put you on hold real quick, brother man. I can let you handle that. You know what's going on that end real quick. So get that together. We're going to bring you back on momentarily. Now, JW, you're a Knicks fan as well, right?
Yes, I am.
It's
long suffering.
You're right. Long suffering. Now, this long suffering. Yeah, I said to myself, I'm not going to get into this with the Knicks. is this long-suffering, were there ever an ease to your suffering as being a Knicks fan?
Wow. I think I got a reprieve when No, I haven't been in reprieve and whatnot. Not saying.
No. Now, Brother Man Ike, you often say when you refer to Nixon, once again, this is not going to be a basketball show. I just want to in and out and touch base with this real quick. Brother Man Ike, you often refer to, you know, your days as a Knicks fan. You also refer to a good old days, such as a golden age. When were these good old days? Let me know.
Well, see, I don't want to give away my age, but when the Knicks...
You about to give away your age.
Well, I mean, like, when the Knicks was just winning ball games and it was exciting to watch and it was Patrick Ewing, Mark Jackson. And that's, you know what, while we on that topic, let's talk about Mark Jackson. Like why wasn't he...
No, listen. We're not going to make it a basketball show. We're not going to get into Mark Jackson. It's a direct question. When was this New York Knicks good old days?
Okay, good old days. The Patrick Ewing, well, they say it's Jordan era. I call it the Patrick Ewing era.
So
the Patrick Ewing era when the Knicks
You're going to beat around the bush. The good old days for the Knicks is basically a losing era. You guys is being happy to make the playoffs and go to the second round.
Well, I mean, that's what we did. I wasn't, you know, worried the way you did, but that's what it was, though.
Interesting question.
I
have an interesting question for you two, and then we're going to jump off the Knicks, and we're going to get back on this football Sunday, opening football Sunday show that we can have. Interesting question for you guys. I want to and it really hit me a few days ago. I want to ask you, when you look at the teams that you consider rivals for the New York Knicks, when you look at the Miami Heat, when you look at the Chicago Bulls, when you look at the Indiana Pacers, hell, even when you look at the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, that was the first time.
In the last, let's say, 30 years, right? Let's say the last 30 years. Matter of fact, let's say the last 30 years. Which one of those teams have the Knicks been better than in the last 30 years? If you look at the whole body of work, which team have the Knicks been better than?
Celtics.
I can't really say they've been better than the Celtics because the Celtics have won championships.
Not in the new millennium.
Not too long ago in the Garnett and Paul Pearson era, and they won championships in the '80s. And they had their moments where they were somewhat competitive, and they had Paul Pierce, Chuck Person. I mean, the Celtics have been. I mean, they've been bad, and they're bad now. And they're rebuilding and getting youthful now, and they've had stretches where they were bad. The Celtics have not been that bad overall in the last 30 years.
I mean, but are we just defining they were better than just by the fact they won championships, or just as like you said, the whole body of work as a team?
The whole overall body of work. When you look at what would make a successful period in time for a team. When I look at the Knicks, and you know what makes me ask you guys this question. I was thinking about the Indiana Pacers, who was a huge Knicks rivalry for a very long time. And I asked myself, well, which franchise, let's say in the last 20 years, the last 30 years, which franchise would you rather have been a fan of? Which franchise has been more successful? And I came to the conclusion, it's the Indiana Pacers. Because you know what? The Indiana Pacers were neck and neck with the Knicks, you know, as far as in the 90s. They're basically mirror images of them. They basically shared the same type of success as the Knicks in the 90s. You know, they both went to one finals. They both, you know, they're pretty much the same type team. The Pacers never really had that period in time where they've fallen off. They were always competitive. They may have a year or two here, a year there, setback. But for the most part, they were always competitive. The Pacers just came off a stretch where they were pretty much the second-best team in the Eastern Conference for about a good 4 or 5 year period. Even before that, they had extremely competitive teams. If you want to go back to the, you know, Jermaine O'Neal and Ron Artest years and Steven Jackson years, they were still competitive. The Pacers never really fallen off. Where the Knicks, pretty much in the last 15 years, has been the joke of the league. They're probably you can make a really good argument that in the last 15 years, since Patrick Ewing left that team, the Knicks have been the worst team in the league overall body of work. So
I don't know. I think I still got distinction to the Clippers, but that's just me.
You can't really say the in the last 15 years, you can't really say the Clippers because what? In the last 5-6 years, the Clippers have been very good. The Knicks have what?
I wouldn't say very good. They were a good team.
In the last 4 or 5 years, the Los Angeles Clippers have been title contenders. And definitely in the last three years, but even before that, even before Chris Paul came to the team, you know, once they brought Blake Griffin to that team, that team kind of turned that corner. They became good. They became exciting to watch. Right now,
yeah,
they're the best team in the league.
I will give you that.
When you look at the New York Knicks, the Knicks have been bad. Maybe because you guys are like Knicks fans, you don't want to admit it. Maybe you can't like look at it objectively. But when you look at the overall body of work, the Knicks have been horrible. The Knicks just won 17 games last year. The Knicks have been horrible. Extremely horrible. So, back to the question, when you look at that group of rivals that you would consider rivals with the Knicks, where you're looking at the Miami Heat, when you're looking at the Boston Celtics, or when you're looking at the Indiana Pacers, in the last maybe 20, 30 years, who have the Knicks been better than? Overall body of work? None of them. And I'll even throw Chicago into the mix, because I consider Chicago to be a big-time Knicks rival. You can even throw Chicago Bulls in the mix. The Knicks have been better than none of them.
The Bulls definitely fell off, man. You know that. But they regrouped. Once they got Derrick Rose, they got Derrick Rose.
Now, what do you consider falling off? The Bulls have won six championships. The Bulls won six championships in the Jordan era. After the Jordan era, let's be honest, they had maybe one or two seasons where they weren't really contenders, but they were still hovering around 500. The Bulls never got to that point.
500 is a contendership?
Listen. The Bulls never had that long stretch in time where they were bad. They had a year or two.
I'll grant you that.
They had a year or two here or there where they kind of rebuilt, and then they actually were contenders. The Bulls right now, if you look at the last 10 years of the league, the Bulls have basically been the second, third best team in the Eastern Conference. What killed the Bulls was injuries. The Bulls are basically, even without their star player, have still been winning playoff series, have still been, you know, balling. They've still been exciting to watch. They've still been in the conversation. I can't say that about the New York Knicks. The Knicks had a 10-year stretch where they didn't even make the playoffs, where they couldn't even break 500. Let's be honest. They went out. They got Amari Stoudemire. Knicks fans thought it was great to be what? 2-3 games over 500, went, got Carmelo Anthony, who's been a that experiment has been a total failure. It's done nothing. I'll give it to this. Last 15 years, you got one good year at the New York Knicks. You got one season that you can hang your hat on. And that was the, 54-win season that, got bounced out in the second round of the playoffs. So one season in the last 15 years that led. Is that something to be proud of?
Nah, I can't say there's anything to be proud of as a Knicks fan.
Now check it out. When you look at that, when you listen to that answer, and you look at the so-called rivals in the last 15 years, I think the Indiana Pacers, they haven't won a championship, but they've been kind of good in the last 15 years. Same thing with Chicago. Same thing with Boston. Same thing with Miami.
Well, Mike, to answer your question, someone whatnot. Right now, I kind of look at the Knicks as not exactly having a rival because, in the last 10, 15 years, because they haven't really established a winning culture, any real winning seasons. They went through 10 years of misery.
I'm gonna stop you there, JW, because a rivalry isn't necessarily just about whether both of you are winning. A rivalry, two bad teams can be rivals. The Knicks actually have rivalries. They have teams that if you're in New York and Boston, you hate each other in every sport. It's just a built-in rivalry. Chicago's a built-in rivalry. Miami's a built-in rivalry. I mean, this is the way it is. It has nothing to do. The Jets and Dolphins are rivals. Doesn't matter who's good. Doesn't matter who's bad. The Giants and Cowboys are rivals. They can both have won two games out of that season. When they play each other, when they play against each other, it's a big time rivalry game. And it's the same thing with the Knicks and these four teams that I just named. So
I just think that you can't be. Like I said, it's just me. You can't really be competitive in these games and what in these games. It's and Knicks weren't really real competitive. Now they've been more competitive in the last, we'll say four of the last 5 years. It's been much more competitive. They got a couple once they got one star and a half.
You just said the Knicks have been competitive. You just said the Knicks have been competitive in the last 4 to 5 years.
I was saying,
I said more competitive.
In the last 4 out of 5 years. Last year, we already know what happened with that. That's a 17-win season. Nah, you're not really going to pick up anybody.
Compared to what? When you say more competitive, compared to what? Compared to the garbage that they've been rolling out on the court in the last 10 years before that?
Yeah. I'm not going to say they just sat there and wrote. No, they didn't give away games. But the level of talent, level of play, and level of coach, just in all, just as an organization as a whole, just was rather was completely inept.
So you're telling me that the New York Knicks didn't give away games last season? They basically put us on the court to play for them. They basically put a bunch of CBA players to get out there and play for them. Now, let's break this down. Now, bear with me for a second. Now, you said the Knicks have been, more competitive or they, whatever with their rival. Let's just break it down. I just pulled up the Knicks record. Last season, they won 17 games, right? The season before that, they won 37 games. So now you got back-to-back losing seasons. The season before that, they had 54 wins. That was, that was maybe the only season to hang your hat on. The season before that, they won 36 games. That was a shortened season. 36 and 30, nothing to really hang your hat on. The season before that, they won 42 games. That's nothing to really hang your hat on. 42 games, AC in a playoff, that's nothing to hang your hat on. So in the last, you got 2 out of 5 that, you can even – really somewhat look at and say, well, it's respectable. The 54 and 36. The 36 and 30 because it was a shortened season. Before that, you won 29, 32, 30, 39, 37, 40. So pretty much since 2002, the Knicks have been garbage. It's 2015 now. We're talking about garbage. We're talking about a team that's winning 30 games, 23 games. And we're talking about a stretch. We're talking about a good 10-year stretch of that type of basketball. So you can't compare them to teams like the Pacers. You can't compare them to teams like the Bulls, the teams like the Miami Heat. You can't even compare them to the Boston Celtics. Because why? Those teams have been consistently competitive in that time frame. Now, back when the Knicks was good, guess what? Those teams are good also. So what are those teams doing that they are able to, they'll have setback years, but they're able to somewhat stay consistently competitive, and the Knicks can't even put a back-to-back stretch together of winning seasons.
I think I tried to allude to it, the front office. Is with one factor.
How is it the front office when you got? You got an owner, right? Who's willing to spend money? This guy.
You also got a salary cap that caps you from spending that money. No, spending as much as you think you own. There was no.
Listen to me, JW. One, you got a salary cap that the Knicks are always over, and two, you got a salary cap. Everybody plays by the same rules. It's not just like the Knicks is the only team with a salary cap. All of these teams have a salary cap. So Miami Heat has a salary cap, right? They're able to somehow keep that team good, competitive, and win championships. Chicago Bulls have a salary cap, which they're always under. They never really – Chicago doesn't spend. They're a cheap team, but they're able to keep that team good, keep the team competitive, even with injuries. Indiana Pacers have a salary cap, which is another cheap team that kind of don't like to spend a lot of money. They're able to keep their team competitive, keep their team good, keep their team in the conversation. They kept the team somewhat afloat even when their best player went out last season. Boston Celtics have a salary cap, right? Same rules apply. They're able to keep that team rolling. What's up with the Knicks?
My thing is the Knicks, they go get, like, instead of spending money on an up-and-coming guard or forward or sort of wherever the case may be, the Knicks, what they do is they go get somebody like a Tracy McGrady or somebody that's already washed up. You know,
they're going to revamp their career, whatever, off of that.
I
got to
disagree
with you. But they traded McGrady. They traded for McGrady as a Saudi. I believe that was part of a Saudi.
Listen, I got to disagree with you, brothers. Because you know what? The Knicks basically throw the bank at these star players, but they don't want to come to the Knicks. It wasn't LaMarcus Aldridge. It's been the last 4 or 5 seasons. Free agency comes when the Knicks have the money, they throw the bait. They got to beg people to take their money. This is how much of a joke the New York Knicks have become. You can't even get a star player to take the max contract to come and play in New York City. They don't want to come. You basically have to beg and give away the store to bring Carmelo Anthony, who's basically – let me ask you something. Has Carmelo Anthony been a success in New York? Has he been a disappointment?
Mike, I tell you this all the time. I never wanted him, but, I mean, as far as him being a success or not, no, he had to live up to expectations. I mean, he had, what, 162-point game or 61-point game?
I'm not talking about whole body. I'm talking about overall body. So, basically, you gave away the bank to get this guy. You gave this guy an insane contract and gave him a no-trade clause. Who does that in the NBA right now? I mean, nobody has that right now. So you basically, you know, the greatest players in the game doesn't have that right now. And there's only one player in the game right now that should have a no-trade clause, and his name is LeBron James. No other player in this league should have a no-trade clause. I don't want to get too far off base. We're going to jump back on the football. I just, you know, I got two Knicks fans on. I just wanted to get, you know, test the waters and take their temperature and see where they stand with some of this basketball talk. And basically what I'm walking away from is – you guys are going to try to defend your team, but you guys really realize that the Knicks have maybe been one of the worst franchises, if not the worst, definitely one of the top 2 or 3 worst franchises in the league in the last 15, 20 years. They have been. There's no other way around it. Now, what do they do to come out of that? Well, the future, time will tell. First, you got to make the decision. Are you going to try to be all in and try to win something this year, which you're not going to win because there's too many teams that's better than them? Or are you going to break the thing down, get rid of Melo, and really rebuild? My advice, rebuild. Don't be in a rush. You're not getting past this Cleveland team. You're not better than them. You're not better than that Miami team. You're not better than the when healthy that Chicago team. You're not. Even with Melo playing this top ball. Sooner Knicks fans realize that, the better off they're going to be. You know what? And it's a fun thing to rebuild. It's not a bad thing. Enjoy watching these young players develop. Grant, Porzingis.
Mike, don't you think they're rebuilding right now? I mean, fine. They didn't trade away.
I think they're at a crossroads. And the reason why you have such rumblings about whether or not to trade Carmelo Anthony or not is because they're trying to decide which direction they want to go into. You can't rebuild the team with Melo still on the team. If you're going to rebuild, you know what? You got to get Melo, and you're going to do it right. And one thing that I respect about Phil Jackson is I don't think he's a half-asser. I think if he's going to do something, he's going to be all in. He's going to do it the right way. Phil didn't really want Melo on his team. I think Phil really wanted to rebuild this thing from scratch in his image and get the type of players that he wants in there. But you know what? You can't be the GM that just allowed Melo to walk away. You got to throw Melo the contract, hoping Melo don't take the contract. Everyone thought Melo was going to either Chicago or Houston. Everyone thought Melo was going to chase the ring. Melo chased the money. Plan kind of backfired. Now you're in a situation where, you know, if they were to really have been in a situation where they wanted to rebuild, they would have traded the pick, try to get the best quality talent they could have gotten up in there at that time via trade to pick under the salary cap. No, he chose to go to the youthful movement, get the youth movement going, get some young players in there. And not only is he getting young players in there, he's getting a team full of predominantly young players. And now you're getting the leaks out that they kind of shopping Melo around. You know, Melo doesn't want to be there. Let's be realistic. Melo got about, what? He has his money. He has about another 2-3 years tops, but definitely about a solid two more seasons of at this top level. He's coming off a lot of injuries. He hasn't played a full season in a while now. He's getting up there, you know, when it comes to sports age. He's not going to be that vintage Melo anymore. He doesn't want to spend his last maybe two tops, three seasons of in prime basketball, in his basketball prime, in a rebuilding situation. That's not what Melo wants to do. Melo, trust me, he wants to go to Chicago. He wants to go to Houston. He wants to go to the Clippers. He wants to compete. He wants to try to get a championship. That's basically what Melo wants to do. And I think Phil is going to fulfill that wish for him. I think I told you before, and I've said it on previous shows. I've said it in previous group chats. I don't see Melo on his team after Christmas. I don't. I think the first month or two, it'd be a great opportunity for him to get out there and show these. You know, he's healthy, and he has a swag back, and to kind of get his value back up, and trade him and get what you can get. Try to get some draft picks and another decent player. If you're a Knicks fan, the first thing you have to understand, the Knicks are not going to be this contender next season. It's going to be a while before they're that. It's going to be a few seasons before they're those contenders. But that doesn't mean you're not going to have some fun, exciting basketball. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to sit back and watch these young players grow, and watch these guys grow year by year and make progress and become better players and build toward. And see, one thing in the NBA that you got to understand, if you're going to spend the money, you got to hit for the fences. And unless you're bringing that LeBron James in, there's no player right now that's going to make you that championship contender overnight unless you're bringing a guy like that in. So if you're not going to do that, you know, the teams that are good right now, they built these teams over a few years, over a few seasons. They got young players and they allowed them to develop. You got to do that if you're the Knicks. You got the young players now allow them to develop. They're going to take their lumps. They're going to lose some seasons. They're going to lose some close games. They're going to, they're going to learn. They're going to fall a little bit. But it's going to be fun watching them fall, watching them get up. It's going to be fun watching them, okay, you won 30 games this season. Next year, you're 500, you won 42. Next year, you got to the second round in the playoffs. The next year, add a couple more pieces, you're contenders. That's what it's about. Build this thing. Look at the Golden State Warriors. That's what they've done. Most of the teams that are competitive right now, that's what they've done. Yeah, you add a free agent here and there to kind of fill a roster out. Close some holes, but for the most part, get young and build this team. There's no room for Carmelo Anthony on this team. He's not the guy anymore. He doesn't fit into what Phil Jackson wants. Yes, is he saying the right things? Absolutely. Is he doing some of the right things? Absolutely. Why? Because you want to be a good soldier, because you want to get your trade value up. I'm sure him and Phil Jackson sat down and had this conversation alone somewhere in some restaurant or some dark room in the garden somewhere. They had the conversation. Melo, you got your money. We're not going to subject you to wasting the rest of your career sitting on the Knicks, not having a real good opportunity, a realistic opportunity to get that ring. You come in here, beginning of the season, you play your ass off, you get that trade value up so we can actually get something for you, and we're going to send you to a contender. You're trying to tell me that Melo on the Bulls doesn't make sense? You're trying to tell me that Melo on the Rockets doesn't make sense? You're trying to tell me Melo on the Heat right now doesn't make sense? Makes perfect sense. We're gonna jump off this basketball talk, but that's just a little preview of how it's gonna be when this season starts in about another month. We got the NBA season start, and a few weeks before we got the preseason start. But we're gonna jump into that. A little preview, something, something. I'm gonna let you guys have a quick last word about the Knicks. We'll be jumping to some NFL predictions. Take it away, brother man, Ike.
Well, I don't see Melo being moved just yet, because especially to the Bulls anyway, because I think the Bulls are getting Rudy Gay. But besides that, if he's moved by Christmas, then I think the Knicks will be fine this year, though. Jose Calderon, he's already going on record saying they're going to win more than 17 games. And he's comfortable with what's going on right now.
You think the Knicks are going to be fine because of Jose Calderon?
I'm just giving you a quote from what he said.
What would you expect him to say? We're gonna suck? Of course you're gonna go.
Nobody's gonna go on record to say that.
Okay.
You gotta remember, everybody starts 0-0.
Keep hope alive, brother man. Like, it's good to be positive. It's good to, you know, hey. Hope for the best, reach for the stars, but I wouldn't bet the house on the New York Knicks this season. Now we're gonna get to some NFL talk. Back to the NFL. People are probably calling in saying, these guys are talking Knicks. I thought it was Football Sunday. Actually, it is Football Sunday. Had to take a quick detour. Had to talk some Knicks. We've been itching to talk some Knicks and talk some basketball. Not just Knicks, but basketball in general for a long time now. Basketball is a great sport. NBA is a good organization, and we're going to have some fun with that in a couple weeks. But I got some pick'em games for you guys. I put some pick'em games in the group last night. And I want to get you guys. We got a good one that's going to actually take place in not too long from now. Going to have the Indianapolis Colts going into Buffalo. I need some winners for this one. I need some thoughts. Who do you got in this one, JW? Did we lose JW? Nah,
no,
we're
I'm
doing
right
some,
here.
We're doing some
no,
pick-ups.
No, I'm right here.
Colts, Bills,
okay.
What's up?
I got the Colts for this one. I have the Colts. I believe in their offense. I think the offense is gonna light Rex Ryan's defense up. This is the first game and whatnot. I just think Buffalo got to get used to their system. Got to get used to Rex Ryan's system more so. We already saw it in the first game that we played, the Pats versus the Steelers, where. We thought the pass defense was going to light up Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was actually moving the ball down fifth like 500 yards for the game. So I'm just kind of looking at the same thing happening here with the Colts, and they're going to light up Buffalo. It won't be a blowout, but it'll be a close game. But I see the Colts winning.
What you think, brother man? I
got the Bills with an upset going into today's game. That defense of Rex Ryan that he's running, I think that the Bills will be able to come out on top. I think the Colts, they're a good team, but I see the Bills coming out on top.
You guys know me. I'm still drinking that Rex Ryan's Kool-Aid. Whether he's on the Jets, whether he's on the Bills, I'm a Rex fan, and I'm a fan of defense. This game, the Colts should win this game, but this game has the makings of one of those quirky games, and I'm telling you, I think that, you know, this is one of those games that Rex is going to pull out. A Rex Ryan team is going to pull out. It's going to be an emotional game. It's going to be his home opener. I understand the Bills don't have that quarterback, and that's going to hurt them. But I think, you know, Shady may have a – I'm kind of predicting Shady to have a huge game. I'm predicting that that Bills front, you know, that front four to just cause havoc and just be all over Andrew Luck. I'm picking the Bills in this one. I think it's going to be one of those little bit of a shockers. I think – and I'm not even picking the Bills in a close one. I'm thinking I'm picking the Bills by, like, 10 points plus in this one, which is – you know, most people disagree, but – and I'm probably going to be – I may be wrong, but I don't know. Something's just telling me to go with the Bills. Something's just telling me to go with that Rex. Now, I'm not saying that this game is going to be a good indicator of where both teams are going to – the direction both teams are going to go this season. But for this game and this game alone, I'm going with the Bills. I got another good one. This is the afternoon game. We got the Baltimore Ravens and the Denver Broncos. Brother Man Knight, let me know what's up.
I'm looking at the Baltimore Ravens to also upset the Broncos.
Is that right? Why is this?
I'm looking at Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco, he seems like he's ready this year. I mean, well, I'm going off of the preseason anyway, and I'm looking at Peyton Manning. It's just like he's ready. He's ready to go. He's loaded. They made a couple of off-season trades. Well, not trades, but trades. And I just got a gut feeling that it's just another upset.
Huh. JW.
I'm going with Denver in this game. I think Peyton's going to light Baltimore up. I think this one's going to be a lot not blowout potential, but definitely score is going to be a lot not as close as some would think. I'm saying Broncos by 17.
I'm going with the Broncos big in this one. I think the Broncos are one of those teams that's on a mission. I think this is, contrary to what some Bronco fans may believe, I think this is the last hurrah. I think this is the last stand for Peyton Manning. I don't think he's gonna do this too much more. I think this is maybe even potentially his last season. But I think the team is loaded. I think they have a very good team. I think they're on a mission to really show that they are that guy. I think Peyton needs that ring. I think this team, a lot of those guys, they see that the end of the road is coming. That finish line for this era of Bronco football is coming to an end. And this is their home opener. They very rarely lose at home to begin with. And the Ravens got too many question marks on that team. I know the Flacco's a big guy. They still got some holes they got to fill. Now, actually, you got some guys that are actually trying to pencil in and fill the Ravens to come out of that AFC to make it to the Super Bowl. I don't see it yet. The Ravens are one of those teams. I have to actually see them play before I can make huge long-term predictions for them. But in this game, this Sunday, against the Broncos, I don't think they have a chance in hell in this game. I'm picking the Broncos big. I'll be really shocked if the Ravens win this game, or if this game is even close. I'm picking the Broncos by over two touchdowns. Good 14, 15, 16. We're playing 16 points, Broncos. Got some other ones I want to look at. Of course, we got to look at these Jets and the Browns. I want to get a quick one from you guys. Jets, Browns, what do you guys think?
I'm going
well,
in Jets.
Well, I think the Jets look excellent on paper. They look excellent, and they've been looking good on paper, but I'm picking them to win. I'm actually picking them just to win, but that Cleveland Browns thing, I don't know what's going on over there, but I'm definitely picking them just to win.
We got two teams that are somewhat, I'm not going to say mirror images of each other, but two teams that are good defenses. I think the Jets have a better defense. But two teams that are somewhat good defense, got a few weapons around the field. They just don't have the quarterbacks. I'm looking at an extremely low-scoring game. I'm looking at a game that I can see the Jets squeaking away with this one in a 10-7, 9-6, 14-10 type affair. I can see some scores late in the game, but I think it's going to be one of the more boring games to watch actually this weekend. I think it's going to be one of those games. It's going to be a defensive stalemate, and I think somebody's going to break away in late third quarter or early fourth quarter. I see the Jets walking away with that one. You going to say something, JW?
I said I got the Jets in this game. I view the Cleveland Browns as the New York Knicks of the football out of NFL. basically just inept in that front office, and that do you even have a quarterback? I mean, Johnny Manziel, I know for all the hype surrounding him, I think he's out. Isn't he out this game? And whoever they got as a starter, McNown, I believe. What has he really done? Why is it really proven? Granted, it's a new season, new year, and like Brother Mike said, everybody starts 0-0. But this week, Cleveland picks up a 0 in the win column, and they'll lose this game.
Now, the comment you just said, when you said, what have their quarterback really done? That's an interesting choice of words when we talk about athletes. When we say that, besides winning championships, we can pretty much say that about any athlete when we say, what has he really done? When I look at, say that about any quarterback that, you know, unless you're one of the few quarterbacks that won a Super Bowl, say that about a lot of these guys. Now, I know you got a lot of young, see, the thing about the Browns right now, got a lot of young guys in this team, young quarterbacks. I'm not sure if Manziel is going to be their future. McCowan, he's pretty much a stopgap. You know, he can't defend his team for their lack of being able to put a decent quarterback in there. And that's going to hurt him. And I think the Jets are kind of like in that same boat. I'm looking at this team's roster right now. When I look down at the roster, you know, they're loaded with some good players. They got some gamers on this team. You know, but especially on defense, got to get that quarterback situation right. Same thing with the Jets. The Jets are loaded. Like you mentioned it, they're good on paper. The Jets are loaded. But that quarterback, that lack of a quarterback is going to hurt them. I'm not sure if all of a sudden out of nowhere Patrick is going to turn into a decent quarterback. He hasn't been a good quarterback his whole career. He hasn't. What you're hoping from this guy, from Fitzpatrick, is that, hey, don't turn the ball over. I don't see what else you can expect from him. No turnovers. And it's a shame because you got a decent core receivers on this team. You know, they're not bad. I'm looking at them right now. They're not bad at all. Can't turn that ball over. You know what? The Jets have become, and this is interesting. I'm finding that there's a handful of teams. I think the Bills is in that category. Although I think the Bills are probably the best team in that category because you know what? I think they potentially can have a dominant run game with Shady McCoy. And you know, even though the Bills doesn't have that solid big time quarterback, the traditional quarterback that we're thinking of, they can potentially, you know, they can get something out of a couple of these guys that they have. You know, I don't think they're I'm looking at the Bills right now. I don't think they're as bad as the Jets and they're as bad as Cleveland when it comes to quarterback. I think Castle, you could potentially get something out of Castle. I think Teron Chandler, they're kind of banking on him to be like, you know, that savior. I'm not sold on that yet. But the type of team that Buffalo has, when you look at Shady McCoy, who catches a lot of passes in the backfield, when you look at Sammy Watkins, who's just a speed demon who can burn anybody. You look at Percy Harvin, who can burn anybody. They have the type of offensive weapons that could potentially get some production of a bad quarterback. A lot of short passes, a lot of yards gained after the catch. So you're not necessarily looking to go downfield if you're the Bills. But when you got guys, you know, the type of weapons that the Jets got, you're looking to go down the field a little bit. You're looking to have a little bit longer passes. You don't have the type of guys, the type of receivers that's going to get big-time gains after the catch. You're not looking at that type of running game like Shady McCoy that can catch the ball in the backfield and, you know, and create a 20, 30-yard play out of it. So I think it works a little bit better for Buffalo. What do you guys think?
I think, again, Buffalo just looking for that quarterback. They definitely got the weapons. They definitely got the defense. They got a pretty good head coach in Rex Ryan. It's all about
very good head coach. Rex Ryan.
Okay, we'll go with that. it's just all about getting that quarterback, and not for nothing. Well, I think that was what was the problem in New York with Rex Ryan. He's gonna let that quarterback play. They're going to let that quarterback throw rather than be a game manager.
Don't worry about it, y'all. I understand, you know, Rex Ryan is not perceived as a big-time coach. I'm drinking the Rex Kool-Aid. I'm a Rex Ryan fan personally, so I'm going to pit Rex Ryan up in that category as a good coach. I understand most won't, but it's all in fun. You know, I understand you know, he hasn't recently earned that right to be that a really good coach. But, you know, I think Rex might shock you. But coming to the end of the show, getting to that time, Brother Man Nike, you still with us?
Yes, sir. I'm here. I'm going to
have to give you guys a little shot of adrenaline for the next show. We're going to have to get this thing rolling. What we're doing right now, we're a work in progress. We're bringing a lot of new people on the show. And you're going to have to bear with us. It's going to be a little bit of, you know, a little bit of jitters, a little nervousness, a little bit of butterflies in the stomach. But, we're, like I said, we're a work in progress. We're growing this thing. We'd like for you all to be a part of what we're doing. Contribute to what we're doing. Is the door is wide open. The airways were wide open for you guys to contribute. Contribute in the groups. I understand we get a lot of activity in the Facebook group that we have. Let's talk. Like for some of you that may be listening and join that, let's talk on the Facebook group. Hit me up, Michael Bono on Facebook. You can tell them, got the little microphone with the on-air emblem above it. Hit us up on the show. Hit us up on the mbnetwork.com. We got the website popping. We're working on that, getting that better, perfecting that a little bit. We got What It Ike about to start his What It Is movement again. About to get that on and popping again. So, you know, we're going to sit down and talk and strategize how we're going to come with that. And we got JW. He's on board. He's riding out with us, getting his feet wet in this sports talk realm. And we got Damon Evans, who's really going to be always riding with us and getting his feet wet in this sports talk realm. So get on board this train. It's going to be a fun ride, and we're going to have a fun season, and we're going to have a lot of fun with this sports talk. This is a good time of year for this. What better to have a place to go to talk sports? It's a busy sports season. We got football. We got basketball. We got college football. We got baseball playoffs. This is what happens. This is that water cooler talk. This is where we come to argue back and forth, have fun, debate a little bit, sound off about on, you know, with your team. It's fun. This is what we're here for, and this is what it's going to be. And this is why it's Let's Talk Sports, the Michael Bonner Show. On behalf of JW, on behalf of Brother Man Ike, and myself, Michael Bonner, I want you all to enjoy your Sunday of football. May your team win, unless they're playing the team that I'm rooting for, and enjoy yourselves. We'll catch you maybe, I think, Tuesday night. With that said, let's go Giants, let's go Jets, let's go Eagles, and if you're playing those teams, we're hoping that you lose. Outside of that, have fun.